If you like what you're hearing, why not try a StephCast subscription? Only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance. Go to stephaniemiller.com to find out how.
Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Stephanie. I was just finishing up a coughing fit. I hope I'm capable of
finishing this. Are you sitting? Because if you're sitting...
No.
There's something wrong with you.
Yeah.
I'm actually kidding. But wouldn't that be funny if I was coughing and then that would be a whole thing?
Did you actually hear this? Did you actually hear this? That he's claiming, the media's... You have to hear this just because you wrote great pieces about this. It's just insane how the media's rigged for both sides to it. But did we have him talking about her sitting?
Oh.
Yeah, hang on a second. I think we have that. Yeah, this is his version of why the media is being unfair to him, because no one covered that Hillary Clinton sat down
on her plane. On a plane.
Right.
Oh, God.
Yeah, before it took off. Who does that, Bob?
Yeah, no one sits down on an airplane.
Right. Yeah.
All right. Basically, like, look at the old lady.
The old lady has to sit.
Yeah, look at Grandma. Where's Grandma's shawl? Can she really withstand all of this? And then you couple that with, she doesn't look presidential. She just doesn't. And the press presses them on this.
Somebody,
what do you mean by that? Well, she just doesn't look presidential.
Yeah, she just doesn't look. Look at her. Look at her.
That wasn't sexist,
right?
Look presidential. What do you mean by that, Mr. Trump? She just doesn't look presidential.
Just look at her. I mean, look at her.
Look.
I love somebody, after she coughed, somebody tweeted, Hillary's in bed with Big Lozenge.
Oh, my God.
You wrote a piece for Salon, which, by the way, Bob Seska, very big in the cyber, as the kids are calling it.
The cyber. I love the cyber.
The cyber.
Salon, look at all the cyber.
The daily banter, the Bob and Chez podcast.
I'm soaking in cyber.
Very big in the cyber. Oh, wait, here's Sitgate for you later. Here we go. Here's Sitgate. Hang on. Here we go. No, all right, never mind. We'll get it in a second. All right. Okay. So
I can't believe he said the cyber.
Yes, the cyber.
Oh, my God. And then and he's trying to make Hillary Clinton seem old and frail.
All right, do we have it now?
Cyber.
Okay. All right, here we go. Here we go, Bob. I think we have it now. Okay.
Different components of a strategy, military, cyber, financial, and ideological. Can you just expand on those four a little bit?
Well, that's it. And, cyber is becoming so big today. It's becoming something that a short number of years ago.
We were talking about Sitgate. But okay. All right. Yeah.
the cyber. Love the cyber.
Rock and roll rhythm is here to stay.
Yes. anyway.
There's so much cyber.
So much cyber everywhere. But you're right. The polling gap is...
Cyber.
Is...
I just met her.
You say the polling has tightened. Nate Silver's 538. Trump has gone from a 12% chance of winning to a 27% chance of winning in four short weeks. And you're right, Bob. It's all terrifying. I don't care, even though it's, obviously that gives Hillary the huge odds. You say, should Democrats and indeed all reasonable human beings panic now? Maybe. Trump shouldn't even be in the race, much less nearly tied with a far more qualified opponent. He's marched through a super colossal loophole in the system. And that is really true. And it's called the mainstream media, isn't it?
Yeah. And, and I'm looking at this also in a conceptual way, too. I'm just analyzing how a guy like Donald Trump, who's completely unqualified and has no business whatsoever running for president, much less getting the nomination, how he's doing this well. And, yes, I know what it looks like in the Electoral College. I know what the polls are. But I'm also looking at the national polls. I'm also looking at the fact that this guy, this completely incompetent ignoramus, is going to be winning maybe close to half the states. I mean, maybe 20, 23 states. That is astonishing to me, and that doesn't bode very well for our judgment as a nation that this guy, I mean, again, the press is starting to treat Donald Trump as if he's just another Republican candidate, but he's not, and that's
Bob,
and that's giving this false impression. That's giving people cover to say, well, okay, I guess I can probably vote for him. It's not that bad.
Right. Oh, both sides are getting so nasty. It's like, wait a minute, what? But
yeah.
And as you said, when he goes off teleprompter, he said no one knows how many undocumented immigrants are here. He said our government has no idea. It could be 3 million, could be 30 million.
Yeah.
We know how many. It's not 30 million. Like, he just throws out these things, right?
Could be 100 billion cybers.
Right.
And then he goes on to definitively say that there are 11 million.
Right.
He said, we don't know. No one knows. The government doesn't know. No one knows. Oh, and by the way, it's 11 million. What are you talking about?
I don't know if you've been listening, but I've been saying I am looking forward to a fiasco of epic proportions tonight, because I don't know if you saw yesterday was a disaster, and he was getting softball questions in front of a friendly crowd.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I heard, too, that one of the, I think one of the generals who might actually support him suggested one of the questions for tonight become, what's the difference between Sunni and Shia?
Oh, right. I'm looking
forward to it. I hope that question is asked.
Oh my God! By the way, one of the retired generals endorsing Trump include one reprimanded for disclosing, wait for it, classified information. Okay. You say, simply put, Trump is an embarrassment to civilization, a crackpot who exploited a broken party and a broken nominating process to threaten the world. If Trump's brand of undisciplined pandering and screechy malevolence ever becomes the standard for American politics, I don't want any part of it. And you say we're on the brink of disaster, with roughly 5 percentage points separating us from Trump and the abyss. And I agree with you. I was saying I have to talk down a different friend every day. And,
right.
You know.
Oh, by the way, undisciplined pandering and screeching malevolence, these are things that happen on Twitter all the time.
Those are my favorite bands.
But
I was Jim's high school band, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but at the presidential level, at the national level, whether it's people running for Senate, members of Congress, President of the United States, they should not be acting like this. And my concern is that Trump's ascension here and the fact that Trump is, you know, doing kind of well, all things considered, is just so dangerous, and it could lead to something like what I've been predicting, which is next time around there'll be two Trumps, and the time after that there'll be four, and the time after that there'll be eight, and before you know it, the Trump attitude, the Trump style becomes the norm, at least on the Republican side, and that's terrifying.
Well, you know, but it's this both sides do it thing that I the mainstream media has been so complicit from day one in this, Bob. And it's just, look at this. Very clearly appears to have bribed at least two attorneys generals to make Trump University cases go away. And meanwhile, the investigation shows there was nothing improper at the Clinton Foundation. And it's like, oh, well, both sides, there's allegations on both sides.
Some people say.
I mean, Think Progress did a LexisNexis search and just checked out what the mentions were between September 1st and September 4th between the Clinton Foundation, which is a non-scandal, and the Trump Foundation, which is a legitimate scandal that had included an investigation and a fine by the Internal Revenue Service.
Mm-hmm. Bob, take a listen. Everybody was talking about Soledad O'Brien kind of went off on the media yesterday. Here we go.
It's more the contortions to try to make things seem equal all the time. So if you look at Hillary Clinton's speech, where she basically pointed out that what Donald Trump has done actually quite well is normalize white supremacy, one of a long list of things that I think many Americans would find distasteful. Listen, I've seen on air white supremacists being interviewed because they are Trump delegates, and they do a 5-minute segment, the first minute or so, talking about what they believe is white supremacists, right? So you have normalized that. Then Donald Trump will say, well, Hillary Clinton, she's a bigot.
Yeah.
Right.
She's the bigot.
Right.
She's the real
so
bigot.
Both sides are name-calling. Right.
Oh, and by the way, I just wanted to mention this. Just as an aside, you know what? One of the comments I'm getting a lot from Trump people when I say that Trump is unqualified to be president, the comment I get back is, well, he's perfectly qualified. He's of the right age. He's older than the minimum age. And he's an American citizen. That makes him qualified to be president, based on Article 2 of the Constitution.
Wow. Oh my God.
You don't understand what I'm talking about.
Bob, you wrote, as you do, in your brilliant way, you know, the larger picture for Daily Banter, you say, with our present system, a reality show demagogue can parlay his tabloid personality into a run for president. He can win by the nomination by appealing to the basest, cruelest, most simplistic instincts of reactionary voters who are too ignorant and lazy to understand the finer points of issues. Blah, blah, blah. You go on, and you talk about the Republican Party needs to devise a firewall right now to prevent this from happening again.
I mean,
because a lot of them are terrified as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, again, he has gotten this far somehow, and in order to prevent more people like him who represent this existential threat to democracy, who represent an existential threat to world stability, There needs to be something in place. The Democrats have, I mean, if you want a great argument for the superdelegate system, this is it. Donald Trump is absolutely it. I'll bet you $1,000 that Reince Priebus at some point this past summer, maybe probably before the convention, was going, you know, I wish we had superdelegates to have prevented this. But that's not going to be their takeaway. They're going to take away, what they're going to do, what the Republicans are going to say after this election is, well, it wasn't so much his attitude and the crazy things he was saying. He just didn't have a really good campaign infrastructure. And so next time around, we're going to run a Donald Trump-type character, but we're going to give him really good
Again, Bob, the media is complicit because they are, as many people have said, grading him on a curve. It's like, oh, well, he's not a politician. Okay, well, he's not sane either.
That's the big danger, treating Donald Trump as if he's just a normal Republican candidate. Like, oh, he's just like Mitt Romney or John McCain or even George W. Bush. He's just, we're going to just give him scrutiny the same way we did them. We're not going to give him any special scrutiny because of the crazy things he's doing and the crazy things he's saying.
Yeah. Bob, I made this point earlier. George W. Bush is ashamed. He's embarrassed.
George W. Bush is ashamed. George W. Bush
campaigned for this guy.
Well, dodge that bullet. I look like a genius now.
You're right. He really, really does. He looks like, not only looks like a genius, but he looks like, he makes George W. Bush seem more presidential. Ugh. And in that regard, the Bushes ought to be, at least privately, thankful for Donald Trump coming along.
Thanks, Donald.
Making their guy look a lot better.
Saved my bacon.
Didn't think anyone's going to be able to do it.
Didn't think I could do it.
And thought this dummy's going to take down the whole legacy.
Did it.
All right.
What a dummy.
I name you without one of the 1,000 points of light now. Bob, thanks for the Dan Biondi Picklegate audio. I was screaming into my Bob and Chez podcast when you guys were playing it because I said it as a joke before he did it, and I was like, "Someone's going to be a pickle truther," and I as a joke, and nothing is a joke anymore.
Alex Jones trying to debunk the Hillary Clinton opening the pickle jar.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, we have more audio you sent us. This is a Zapruder film. He slowed it down. We're listening for the pop. It was very
The lid turned to the left.
Back and to the left.
Back and to the left.
There was a second pickle jar on the grassy knoll.
Yep. Except it was gherkins. It was a gherkin jar.
I both hate and love this election. All right, Bob Seska, love you, honey.
Love you, Stephanie.
All right, see you soon. There he goes, Bob Seska. Can't live without him. Bob and Chez podcast. Get it.